is Blackfish Fins.
Green eggs and salutations. Good morning.
Good night.
It's time to get right. Good readings, everybody. We are back for part two, dose, of Bells, Fairs, and Flags, where Jai and I are chatting about some red flags.
Yeah, thank you all for tuning in, and let's get right into it.
Absolutely. So, another red flag is someone who is close-minded. Because closed minds don't get you very far. and honestly, I like to think of myself, no, I know that I'm a very progressive thinker. I do a lot of abstract thinking and creating. And so for me, just someone who's going to be in my space is someone who, even if you can't quite understand the things I'm saying or see my vision, can at least be open to, okay, there are other ways of seeing things. Right.
Yeah, I always say, like, there's not just one way to do anything. And I'm all about, like, doing things efficiently and, like, just always looking for some way to improve something. Like, if it can be done quicker with, like, less effort, less work, like, why not try to do something a little different? Or if it'll improve your health or somebody's well-being, just try it, you know? Like, don't just knock it down and then go, well, this is how things always are, because that's problematic.
Yeah, so, like, working smarter as opposed to working harder. And, like, yeah, pretty much, like you said, tradition isn't always, you know, right. We can look at history and a lot of traditions that are completely bull-walky. Like, they just, they didn't benefit anyone, or they just benefited the same people that just have benefited from, I don't want to say the beginning of time, but
a damn long time.
For a very, very long time.
Yeah, centuries, eons. It's written, like, it's written, told, word, like, mouth to mouth, not mouth to mouth, my word of mouth, and just, like, even today, like, with people who are freaking white supremacists and stuff, it's like, y'all, you got that ideology from somewhere else. And if somebody tries to tell you otherwise, like, no, people of color aren't animals. Like, they're actually human beings who deserve just as much respect as anybody else. It would take their closed mind to be like, nope, I don't want to hear it. No. And you see how that how that affects people, and it's not okay.
Yeah, and just, like, I want to say, like, Black patriarchy and Black capitalism, like, the whole structure of capitalism and patriarchy is built to benefit cis white men. And so by just, you cannot reform this structure. I completely understand that you just can't be done with capitalism, because then what are we going to do? Like, what are we going to do in that transition period? And then what is next? So, like, you have to create a plan, think critically, and find ways to create new systems that work better. But to just be like, all we need to do is get Black people in there and thinking that these Black people gonna get these billions of dollars, and then be like, oh, yo, let me make sure I pull you up, is like, I think that's very naive.
Changing the oppressor doesn't fix the problem. People are still being oppressed.
People are still homeless while people are, didn't Kylie Jenner just come to some party on a jet, a private jet? But they telling me if I stop eating a burger,
that's
going to stop climate change. But she can drive around in a jet. Are you kidding me? Like, let's stop blaming poor people and assuming that they're bad and they're the reason for the world ending, when we have all of these billionaires, trillionaires. Like, what's homie name that, what's his name that own Amazon?
What's his name?
It don't even matter what his name is, but, like, somebody like him who has so much money and is literally abusing his workers. But it would be his workers who are told they need to save differently, they need to do this differently, they need to learn financial planning, when it's like, wait, homie, to be poor, you have to understand some level of financial planning, because you need to pay your bills, and you need to have food.
And that's just the basics.
You know, like, so, yeah. one second. Before we even go on, I want to say, and that's not to say that there's anything wrong with having money, because I think money is a wonderful thing. I think everybody should be able to live a life of luxury.
Right.
And that's just my stance on it. If somebody, we all should have those resources and the ability to do those things. I think the issue is when there is a group of people who has the ability to do it, and then everyone else is trying to literally pick up scraps from the ground. That is a problem.
Mm-hmm. Our next red flag is that good old, oh, I was busy, followed up by no resolution. And this could be with a friend, somebody you're talking to. And it, you know, this is something I feel like is common, and it's always like the person that's saying they're so busy is actually not that busy.
Mm-hmm.
While, you know, you're probably the one reaching out to them all the time and trying to convene with them, trying to get together and stuff, or even just being available, and this person always has an excuse as to why they can't text you back or call you back or
link.
Even, right, even, like, check in with you just to, like, make sure you're okay.
Yeah.
That's the kind of, like, that person is not making time for you. My thing is always, like, you make time for things that you want to make time for. Mm-hmm. It don't matter how busy you are. If it's something that you really want to do, if this is a person that you really want to spend time with and get to know or whatever, like, you're going to make sure you do that. It won't always be an excuse as to why you can't show up.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I think it's really whack. And I feel like in, you know, universities where I saw that a lot of people pretending to be busy, but it's like, I just watched your story, my guy. I see you're with this, that, and the third person. I see you putting up this flyer because you're going to these parties. So, like, you're really not busy. You just don't want to make time for certain right. things. And it's like, okay, I respect it. I don't respect you, but I respect your decision. Right. And that's just that.
Like, if I could work an 8-hour day and find a second to text you,
mm-hmm.
you can find time to text me back if you really wanted to.
It literally takes less than 5 minutes. And, you know, also respecting the fact that maybe that person just don't want to talk to you. And it's like, I hope that we are in a space where we can communicate clearly, but not everyone has that ability or wants to mm-hmm. communicate clearly. So when you notice that, you just have to take that. But just to be clear, that doesn't mean you can just text people with no purpose.
Right.
Text people to just try and get their energy, because you will not get a text back from me. You know, so like, it's a matter of discernment.
Mm-hmm.
So next is certainly someone who lies about insignificant shit. Like, oh my goodness, in high school, I had friends that would lie about I had this friend, DK, this friend, you know, because I'm real questionable. From my growth, I see that.
Uh-huh.
The people who I hung out in high school with were not really my friends. We definitely knew each other. We definitely connected. And we definitely aligned at that time for a reason. I needed them young women in my life at that time and space, and vice versa. But for my definite friends, those were not my friends. However, I had this one friend who said that she had a tattoo on her foot of this young boy who had died. Like, this whole crazy story. And then when it's, you know, so that was the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
So by the end of the year, it's starting to get nice. So everybody wearing sandals. And we like, yo, where's the tattoo? And she's just like, I don't even remember the cover up story, but it was just ridiculous.
She got it covered up.
Cover ups cost a lot of money.
Uh-huh.
And there was no tattoo on the foot at all. And I know she didn't pay to get it removed, because that also costs a lot of money. And we was poor from the hood. Like, everybody can act like they hood rich and got all this money, but, like, let's be real. We can't afford to get those tattoos removed right now.
And that's okay.
And that is okay. But it was just so insignificant. And I was just like, what do you get from claiming that you knew this person, and claiming that you knew this person so well that you tattooed his name on your foot after he passed
That's
away?
That's a lot. Because then you can't even keep up with it. So it's like, how can I trust you not to lie to me, like, when it really matters?
Yeah.
That's a problem.
Right.
You made me think of, I had this quote-unquote friend in middle school who after, like, we had a little crew. Well, actually, it was, like, 8 of us. Ridiculous.
That's a big crew.
Ridiculous. But I got the Heelys, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm skating around on my heels. And then all of a sudden it's, oh, I have a pair. She's like, oh, I have a pair of those already. I just don't wear them to school. And I'm like, okay. Next thing I know, it's a week later. Shorty parents had money. So it was, whatever she wants, she get. And it's like, she just showed up. And now it's like, oh, well, I got Heelys too. And da-da-da. And I'm like, you don't have to lie about it. Like, mm-hmm. It's okay. It's a pair of shoes. Mm-hmm. Like, we didn't stay friends for long after that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The bullshit.
Next is someone with a long list of exes.
Dun, dun,
this dun. Right here, I'm going to tell you, this shit is true. This one, like, I don't think any of this is lies, but this one just in, from what I've seen, someone who has just gone through partners and just people. And then when you see their, how it, you don't know how it fell out, but you see how they interact after the falling out.
Mm-hmm.
And you see there's no connection or the people don't really want to talk to them. You need to, where there is smoke, there is usually a fire.
Yeah.
Where there is smoke, there is usually a fire. One more time. Where there is smoke, there is usually a fire. That.
That sounds like something to stay away from.
Stay away.
Not trying to be the next one.
Burnt.
Right.
Mm-mm, child.
Now our next red flag is somebody with a lot of children by a lot of different people.
Mm.
No shade to, like, you know, single parents and life happens. Mm-hmm. But I see a certain level of, like, irresponsibility
mm-hmm.
in creating what could be, like, several families where now there's just, like, a lot of tension. And quite frankly, it's like, how are you keeping up with all these? I have yet to see, and quite frankly, a lot of times it's men with multiple children with different women who are not taking care of any of those children, mm-hmm. not taking any responsibility for any of them.
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing? Like, that, yeah, that just reads as, like, really irresponsible to me. And then when you get a new partner, when they get a new partner, a new girlfriend or whatever, it's like, she either will, like, think to take responsibility for these kids that aren't hers, or if she doesn't, now the mothers of the children are now looking at her crazy, or, like, you're just putting a lot of people in really sticky, like,
mm-hmm.
Just unnecessary situations.
And I think it's, like, when you go to the clinic, when you go to the doctor, they provide free condoms, like, and then you don't have to ask for it. Like, most of these places have, and when you go to the restroom, they're just a bucket of condoms, of lubricants, of little sanitary wipes. Right, and it's there. Like, you know, they're literally open and they're free. And they're, you know, you don't have to disclose. You can just get some free condoms, you know. And mm-hmm. obviously, I don't have a penis. So, like, I don't get the whole, oh, it don't feel the same. But maybe, I don't know. Maybe you should find, I don't know, man. Get some toys. Get some toys that you don't have to use condoms with. Because you can't, it's not fair for you to just go nutting in anybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like,
and have literally no responsibility afterwards. And it's not even that you don't have the responsibility. You choose not to take it.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Just no.
Mm-hmm. I feel like the bar is so low for men.
Mm-hmm.
The bar is so low. It's dangerously
low. It's below sea level.
It's below sea level. And so it's like, why would they ever aspire to be anything greater than what they have to be? And then you also have to be very wary. Oh, this ain't even on our list, but let me throw this red flag in here. Especially after coming from university, you will have people, you will have a lot of men, I've seen in my experience, who are what I would say, quote unquote, above that bare minimum, that see below, and they'll act like an ally to whether it's women and the queer community or a lot of professors. I'm gonna be real with y'all. Sometimes your professor really just wants to fuck you. And I'm gonna say that from experience. And like,
me too.
You have to, right? You have to know to be like, wait, homeboy, haven't you been married for 12 years? You should go holler at your wife. Mm-hmm. What you should not be doing is telling me about your marital problems.
Yeah,
period. You know, I asked you to be a mentor. I didn't ask you to be a boyfriend. I didn't ask to be your therapist. Your wife is the therapist.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to be very, very careful, because there's this new sneakiness of acting like, oh, I'm so educated, I know more. But when you really, really look at the substance of what you're being presented, it's bullshit. Bullshit.
I concur. I had a professor who would message me on Facebook asking about where I live and where I work, and it was just like, all of this, no, this is unnecessary. Yeah, I know I'm smart and I'm beautiful, but you're my professor, you're supposed to be my teacher.
Mm-hmm.
We're not friends.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all of this, no, this is not okay.
Mm-hmm. Right. Which I think takes us very well to gut instincts.
Mm-hmm.
Pay attention to those gut instincts, your intuition. And also stop asking people how their intuition works, because that's very invasive. Everyone's intuition is very different, and it is not your business. And that is just, it's such a breach of personal space. You need to know your intuition and how your intuition works, because your intuition is not going to work like the next person's.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to pay attention to how your body responds, the ways in which your experiences inform what your intuition is telling you.
Mm-hmm.
Period. Next.
Yeah, and I feel like with this one too, one thing that really, I feel like I mentioned this before, but as far as like, you know, this whole trope of like, your crush is supposed to, like, make you feel butterflies, and
mm-hmm.
it feels like, ah, oh, love at first sight, and da-da-da-da. I've literally had, like, I've had an experience where I met with somebody who I was interested in getting to know, and literally my entire body was, like, on edge, like, my, like, to the point where, like, my teeth were chattering, like, my nerves were so, like, they just felt out of control. And I'm like, you know, and that, for me, it was like, I feel like that has been like that one experience where my body was just like, in the moment, I didn't really know how to interpret it. And then looking back on how that connection played out, my body was certainly telling me, run. Like, it was sending me red alert signals from, like, literally from the moment I looked at this person, like, we're in person, and my body is, like, on 100, like, don't do this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Trust that gut, y'all.
Yeah. So next we have someone who makes you question your sanity. Gaslighting is an intense form of manipulation or psychological abuse, which is a tactic that make you question your own sanity. So, like, for example, on our first episode, I spoke about a young man that I had dated, and, like, their insistence on the fact that I was intimidating. And it's like, no, sweetheart, you are intimidated because you are trying to manipulate and control me in the situation, and you will not be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's just not how it's going to go. And I feel, as a Black woman, what I've seen a lot. And these tropes you can see if you watch any show, whether it's reality television or movie, especially Tyler Perry, anything you watch, black men specifically will try to emotionally isolate black women as a means of control. And you'll hear it things like, I wouldn't even date you, or,
right,
you know, I don't even, you know, just these ways of telling a black woman that she isn't lovable, that she isn't worthy, and that she isn't woman enough. And right, that for me is just like, very disgusting. It's very disheartening, and it's very just, it reveals who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just learning overall that I don't need to occupy spaces with anybody who feels that I'm intimidating, period. Mm-hmm. Because these are not my people. If you're intimidated, that means you feel as though you are inferior. You're feeling inferior. And that's not what I believe everyone should feel empowered with their own personal power. And if you feel that in my space you cannot feel empowered, you don't need to be here.
Mm-hmm.
Period. Because for either one of us, that's not good for me, because then you're feeling threatened, and what is that going to cause you to do? And it's not good for you, because if you're feeling inferior, how are you ever going to live up to your fullest potential? So for the both of us, we just need to dip. Like, I don't want that in my space.
There's no balance there in that.
Salut. We got some sneezes in here. Ooh. Four is coming. Y'all need to get y'all emergency and y'all echinacea.
Facts.
Because four is right around the corner.
Hey. I don't know if I'm ready, but hey. Just getting ready. Our next flag is people who change for you. Quote unquote. Because I believe as you exist as a human being, if you decide to make changes, they should be for you, like for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause then otherwise, what's the point? There's no growth there. That change is not gonna stick. Like, if it's not in your heart, you're just gonna go back to what you know, what's comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And whether it's a good or bad thing, like, but you can't make personal changes for yourself in hopes that it'll make yourself more acceptable to somebody else. And that goes the same way for people asking you to change for them.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Like, you don't change for someone. You would then be putting on a mask.
Exactly.
And I don't allow mask in my space. Period. Like, mask the fuck off. Because I don't have any... First of all, I can see through you anyway. So the mask is pointless. Hello. You're wasting a lot of energy. Mm-hmm. Anyway. And it's like, authenticity is what's the most important thing to me. And it's like, you can be a flawed person. I am a flawed person. You are
me
a
too.
Flawed person. And I love us both unconditionally.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And it's like, it's not that you're not worthy or deserving of love because you have flaws. Now, that absolutely means you have to hold yourself accountable and grow for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That don't mean you get to just stay there. But putting on a mask, you will never be loved for who you are. And the thing is, if you're wearing a mask, chances are you want to be loved for who you are. You
right.
want to be loved, which is why you want to people please. You can never truly be loved. It will never feel fulfilling if you're wearing a mask. Period.
That's it. I feel like this goes without saying, but someone who doesn't respect your boundaries, they're chopped.
Chopped.
That's it. Like,
chop. Chop. Snip.
Right.
You're gone.
It ain't nothing to cut that bitch off.
Gone with the wind and swirl, you know? Like,
that's it.
And honestly,
you don't respect my boundaries. You don't respect me. Uh-huh. I don't feel safe around you. Uh-huh. I don't feel comfortable. You don't deserve to be in my space. You don't deserve to know me.
And that goes for all kinds of boundaries. That goes for your boundaries when it comes to personal space, to How you communicate when you're in disagreement, how you communicate when you aren't in disagreement, like mm-hmm. boundaries concerning how you handle money. If you give somebody, you know, just any of your boundaries, you know, big or small, however you want to consider them. Someone who just blatantly disrespects them and you've talked to them and you're like, okay, let me try and reassert it, see what we can do moving forward. And this person is continuously just like, well, nah, it don't work for me. Okay, well, nah, you don't work for me. Chop, chop, snip, snip, you got to go.
Right. This next one, which is one of my boundaries, personally, is people who automatically resort to, like, yelling, cursing, and screaming when they're upset. Now, all those things are fine, but if you're directing them at me, mm-hmm. you're a poor communicator. That makes me feel unsafe, and I'm going to dismiss myself because mm-hmm. I don't know who you think you are yelling and carrying on at me. Like, and I won't even say, like, I'm a child because nobody should be talking to children like that. Mm-hmm. But just, like, you think, right, when you, like, I feel like when you yell at people like that, you look at them as less than. Like, mm-hmm. that's not okay, ever.
Mm-hmm. And just, like, poor communication is... it's very common, and I don't think, obviously I can't speak for Jai, but I think what we're both saying is that when you get angry, that's okay. Mm-hmm. If you feel like you need to yell, curse, and scream, that's okay, but you have to first of all know your audience, and regardless of if, when you're explaining your point, if you get passionate, if you get loud, you cannot direct that at somebody. That mm-hmm. is completely inappropriate, and for me, it's like, I don't even let the people who bore me yell at me. I'd be mm-hmm. damned if I let one of them yell at me. Right. You know, like, I've even had arguments with, like, my dad, who had a very intense anger, and, like, my siblings were all very shooketh of. And I walk right past him, look him in his face, and I'm like, oh, okay. And all my siblings are like, oh. Wait, no, mind you, I'm younger, so...
I'm
the youngest at that. And so everybody's like, oh my God, you're bugging. Daddy's going to be so upset. Or, oh, he's going to start yelling. I'm going to have to deal with that when I get home later. And you know what happened? 20 minutes later, he came and apologized to me because I don't play that.
You better let him know.
Cut it.
That's how you stand. That's how you uphold your boundaries.
Like, unacceptable.
And it's also unacceptable. Somebody who's emotionally unavailable mm-hmm. and lacks the ability to be vulnerable or the incentive. Now, that's, you know, more specifically, like, all right, it's one thing to be emotionally unavailable, and that's just where you are in your life, but to then try and connect with people and just be completely void of vulnerability, that's where it's like, no, keep that shit to yourself, and you need to work on that before you think of bringing that into somebody else's space. Because mm-hmm. all you're doing is just creating more chaos.
And I feel like this is one of those really, really tricky ones, because I feel like there are people who are emotionally unavailable and are aware that they are emotionally unavailable and proceed to try and engage people inauthentically and half-assing and kind of just wanting to have a lot of people on their team so that they don't ever have to feel lonely. Mm-hmm. But then I also can see that there are so many people who don't realize that they are emotionally unavailable or in which ways they are emotionally unavailable. So this regardless takes a lot of, like, radical honesty. Like, you got to sit and just look at yourself in the mirror. You got to think about your past. You got to think mm-hmm. about... and right, like Jay said, I feel like the biggest indicator is your ability to be vulnerable. And if you feel unable to be vulnerable with yourself, I'm telling you right here, right now, you are emotionally unavailable. That does not make you inherently a bad person, but that's something you need to take into account and mm-hmm. take that time and work on being more vulnerable with yourself, which will help you discern who's worthy of your trust, because trust is something that needs to be earned.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah, you definitely got, yeah, if you want to have, like, any authentic connections with people, you mm-hmm. certainly need to start with yourself. Because mm-hmm. otherwise, you're just serving fluff and mm-hmm. nothing that's really real. Mm-hmm. It's all going to be a performance, more or less. And pretty empty.
And performing gets really exhausting. I'm not chucking and jiving for anybody.
Right.
I'm good.
Deuces. one of my faves. So this next red flag is any relationships that are based in gossip and spilling tea. I know personally I've gotten myself caught up in dynamics like this just throughout my life. Mm-hmm. And I've, you know, recently, you know, this is something that I've checked in on myself and I'm like, is this person really my friend or do we just, you know, have similar things that we don't care for? And so that's always like the basis of our conversation. I really don't know this person, mm-hmm. but we get together and we complain. And somehow, you know, and that, and it's something that can very easily be entertaining.
Yeah.
But is that really worth having in my space where it's just not? that's what I've concluded because, like, if we spend our time always talking about what this other person is doing or who said this and who said that and listening into conversations to them be like, oh, I heard this. Mm-hmm. Oh, I heard that. Ha, 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 ha. Oh, yeah. You know, it's like, it's just a lot of negativity. And, you know, even as much as whatever we're sharing is true, it's just like, why am I sitting here and giving so much focus and so much attention to these situations and then gathering with somebody else to then continue to talk about these things? Like, if it's, and it's like, I'd rather be at a point where I feel comfortable enough to address whatever issues that I don't like rather than be chatting about it with somebody else and mm-hmm. not coming to any, like, real conclusions or any solutions. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I might as well just shut up and mind my business. Mm-hmm.
Well, I've never been a fan of the gossiping. Like, even amongst my siblings, I have a lot of older sisters. And there would be, like, gossiping between, and I'm just like, there are so many times I'm just like, get the fuck away from me. Like, I don't want to hear you talking shit, just mindlessly talking shit about anyone. I damn sure don't want to hear you talking shit about my sister. No. I don't give a fuck if you are my sister. Like, that's just so unnecessary. And, like, I'm not on no high horse. Like, understand, I do watch them Housewives of Atlanta, and they are messy, honey, okay? So, like, I do partake in, like, I'm human, so there are times I'm like, ooh, what's the tea? Like, absolutely. Mm-hmm. But, like, just as a pastime and activity, I just cannot. Superficial conversations really are draining.
They
you've seen it, and that, like, yes, they grind my gears. Like, talk about dismissing myself, like, immediately. I'm done. I have nothing to say.
Like,
I'm a go. Like, that is literally my slogan. I'm a go. Like, it's not a, I'm not gonna dismiss you. You go ahead. You have absolutely a right to feel like this is what you want to talk about. This is the person you want to be. I'm gonna dismiss myself because I'm done with this.
I feel that.
So, next we have trauma bonding. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And this goes exactly with what Jai was saying, where it's like, we're connected because of the fact that we don't like this person mm-hmm. or because of this situation. And so, like, when you get a friend and y'all got a friend because y'all both don't like this person, that's trauma bonding. When you're like, oh, I dated this guy and he did me wrong, that's trauma bonding. And, like, yeah. In some of those spaces, it definitely can happen where it's that trauma that puts you in the same space and opens the possibility. But if literally your relationship is just grounded on the fact that y'all share that trauma. Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, you don't like her either? Okay, let's be friends.
You know, right.
Let's hate her together. Like, what?
Right. Now, like, this can be so very tricky. Because I feel like I want to say that it's possible to build an actual friendship from a shared trauma. Mm-hmm. But any friendship, any relationship takes work. It takes getting to know that person. And if it's just like, well, you know, I hate this professor too. Let's badmouth this professor. Okay. Where is that going to get you? Nowhere. It's not going to... You don't know this person. This person doesn't know you. If you're really looking to connect, you have to connect. C-O-N-N-E-C-T, connect. Connect. You got to connect. No trauma bonding. You got to connect. Hey, okay? Like, you got to know somebody.
Right.
And people that are in abusive relationships, we see a lot of trauma bonding as what's the glue. And it's similar to Stockholm syndrome, where you feel really connected to this partner because y'all been through so much, y'all got so much history. But when you look at that history and it's all just like
toxic as fuck,
it's just this crazy loopy roller coaster. I would rather have a set mild, just like smooth ride, mm-hmm. than like this explosive, exciting up and downs. Right. That's
this roller coaster.
Yeah, like even thinking about that, like if I was on a roller coaster or something like that, that would make me dizzy or want to throw up.
For real.
And so it's like, why would I want that in a relationship? Like moments
of panic. like, oh no, how high is this thing gonna go before it plummets?
Right.
At like this super high speed.
Yeah, like, it's like King Dakar in a fucking relationship. Right. Like, whoa, no, thank you. That's just...
No.
And I feel like a lot of these, we can, when we bring back this episode for the next season, we can, like, definitely get more in-depth with things like trauma bonding and gaslighting with, like, official definitions and really get into what these things are. If y'all are interested in knowing more about these things, y'all can definitely comment and, like, let us know, and we can talk about it more. So.
I just got one more thing I want to toss in there. So, as far as, like, trusting your gut when it comes to people, and say you decide, you know, you see some things about a person, it could be a coworker, who you don't really, you know, so maybe they say some crazy things and they just, you don't vibe with them at all. But then you see some other people who excuse the bullshit that they do, but they seem like a nice person and they seem pretty neutral or whatever. Honestly, I'd rather keep my distance from that person as well, because to me, that reads as complacency.
And enabling.
And enabling. And you're not helping.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd rather just keep my space, keep my distance, because it makes my gut feel icky.
You can't save anybody.
Yeah.
And when I say a lot of people don't want to be saved, it's because, and I'm not saying it, I'm not blaming anybody for being in an abusive relationship. I grew up with my mom being in a lot of abusive relationships, so I got to experience a lot of domestic violence growing up. So I don't excuse it, and I don't believe that the woman is to blame or, you know, anything like that. But I understand from having such a close space to observe these kind of connections, that if someone's in a relationship, it's usually because they feel as though they benefit in some way from it.
Mm-hmm.
And whether that's they feel that this person ups their worth or this, that, and the third, regardless, you can't change those things for them. They have to work through those. So there are spaces where you just got to know, okay, I'm just going to allow this person to live their life, because they have to make their mistakes and they have to learn, and you have to... And that takes a lot of heart, because it's like, you have to check yourself. Well, what in me is being so triggered that I feel like I need to save them?
Yeah.
And chances are there's something in you that you want to save and like you want to help heal.
Mm-hmm.
And what you can do is they'll be supportive. And if that person needs to talk, you can be there to talk. And
that's just not for you to take on.
Exactly. Don't do it. Yeah. Especially black women. Stop raising these men. Stop raising these men. Stop raising these boys, rather.
Can't say it enough.
Like, that's not your job.
That's a whole other episode.
Like, I promise that your worth does not come from him.
Mm-hmm.
I promise. I promise all that you feel like you see in him is you projecting your own light. I promise.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really even believe in promises. I'm going to be real with y'all. But when I say that, like, that's as much as I can tell you. Like, I trust that you are projecting your light onto this person. And that don't mean that your man ain't good. Like, you might got a good one, sis. You probably got a good one, and that's cool. But you should check any of your light that you're projecting onto him, because it don't serve either one of y'all. Mm-hmm. You got a life to live. You got your light to live for a reason. You need to live up to your potential. Stop projecting it onto anybody else.
So our question for the week is, how are you fierce during the week?
You want to go first?
Yeah. Honestly, I had a really sleepy, like, just feeling exhausted kind of week. Mm-hmm. So I was fierce and still waking myself up at five in the morning mm-hmm. to get myself ready and out the house on time and making it through the day without any naps, nothing, like, and just making it safely back home.
Yeah.
And all the while, just minding my space and making sure people weren't, you know. Even the other day, I was just, you know, I'm walking on the way home, and it was at least twice, like, two people, and they were white, walking towards me on the sidewalk, and they gonna wait till the last minute to move over, like, you know, expecting me to just shift out the way when, politics, like, not. To the sidewalk. It's two of you walking. You can scoot over and make a little line so that we can all share the sidewalk. And I just sturdied up my shoulders a little bit, and I just kept walking and let them move out the way, because I'm not fighting with you over some sidewalk space.
Yeah, I agree. How is that fierce this week? I feel like, I definitely agree with the sentiment you're saying. It's just, like, owning up to my personal power.
Yeah.
In a different way. Really rummaging through some traumatic experiences in my childhood. And doing a lot of journaling that for years I've tried to avoid. Mm-hmm. And then reading it back. Because I had a habit of, when I was younger, I would write in my journals. And, like, even if I said, like, some really deep shit and, like, you know, talked about stuff, I try to just, like, all right, it's done now, I don't have to go back to it. But it's important to go back to those journals and reread.
Yeah.
And see who you are and what you've been through. So that, for me, is very, very fierce. And then it made me even think about the supermarket the other day, where there was some white man. First of all, homie, I'm 5'9½". You ain't taller than me. So it's no reason for you to come next to me and then try and put your arm up to go get... you. First of all, you probably need to ask me to reach that for you. Like, what are you doing all of this for? And you just come into my personal space. And so for me, as a dark-skinned black woman, which I won't stop promoting because it's the fact of the matter of how I'm read, when I get angry, or my anger is automatically seen as unacceptable, mm-hmm. absurd,
irrational,
excessive. And I'm working on accepting anger and not allowing myself to feel ashamed for not allowing my space to be invaded, for getting upset. Yes, I get upset, and yes, I will express when I am upset. And if you are upset about that, that's okay.
Mm-hmm. Keep that over there.
Mm-hmm.
So, thank y'all for chatting with us. We hope that you were able to take something from this episode and from our podcast as a whole.
Be sure to share this podcast with your BFF, BF, or just F. Maybe even your FB, fuck buddy, friend with benefits.
Yeah. Repost, retweet, and share our podcast. You can follow BFF on Instagram at Black Fierce Femmes and on Twitter at BFierceFemmes.
Let's chat again. Until next time.
This is Black Fierce Femmes.